PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
I was over in Australia and I was like, "Are you proud to be an American?" I was like, I don't know. I didn't have a lot to do with it, you know. My parents fucked there, that's about all. I was in the spirit realm at that time. So I went, fucking Paris. But they couldn't hear me because I didn't have a mouth. I was a spirit without lungs or a mouth or vocal cords. They fucked here. Okay, I'm proud. I hate patriotism. I can't stand it, man. It makes me fucking sick. It's a round world last time I checked, okay? You know what I mean? I hate patriotism. In fact, that's how we can stop patriotism, I think. Instead of putting stars and stripes on our flags, we should put pictures of our parents fucking. Gather people around that flag and see your dad hunched over your mom's big 4x4 butt. See if any boon rally mentality can circle around that little fucking image. God damn, I'm out of here. Fuck it. Get your mom, shut up.
The battle for the mind of North America will be fought in the video arena. The video drum. The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, the television screen is part of the physical structure of the brain. Therefore, whatever appears on the television screen emerges as raw experience for those who watch it.
We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be.
Cinema Crespediso.
Yeah, what's up, everyone? Here we go. Welcome to episode 247 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Chris Crespo, that's me. What's up? The hostess with the mostest, chilling in the Crespediso studio. I don't have an ego. I just named everything after myself. That's all. Because why else? Why else you coming here? For a movie show, you can get movie shows anywhere. You coming here for some Chris Crespo, along with Drew.
Feeling kind of full of yourself today, ain't you, Chris?
I am feeling filled up with myself, massive ego, low self-esteem, not a dangerous combination at all.
Large truck, small penis.
I drive a PT Cruiser.
What? Ooh, damn.
It's a very average car. Very average car for a very average person such as myself. Guys, I have your threat update. It's a threat update miracle as far as I'm concerned. For the first time as I've ever seen, the current threat level and the previous threat level, the color has not changed. So buy your stocks now or dump them. It's up to you. Current threat level is gold. 5 hours ago, your molecules will be overlooked, but now your acquiescence is appreciated.
Is it?
According to the threat level, the threat update is currently gold, and it's been gold for over 10 hours. It'll update in less than an hour, as a matter of fact. We'll see. If it's 3 golds in a row, then the world is over. I'm not even putting this episode out of it. With us, ladies and gentlemen, PFT co-founder, co-host, co-CEO. Actually, he's got it for some business reasons. He's going to be straight up president of PFT Media.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, we're gonna make it that way. The one and only Ed McMahon, John Goodman, all the guys who keep showing up for a show because they work so great. Steve Etchie is here, everyone. Steve!
Hashtag surprised, not surprised.
That's not how hashtags work.
If you are surprised, not surprised that Steve Etchie is here, hit us with the hashtag surprised, not surprised. Let us know your appreciation for Steve Etchie making us, I think, 14th appearance?
Yeah.
Come on! I get some extra applause. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing awesome.
Good to see you, man. You looking good?
Yeah, I haven't seen you in a while.
I know, man. Where you been? It's been forever.
Well, it's been
like 2 days.
No, it was last Sunday.
Yeah.
A little bit of tidbits recording and hunkering down and discussing future business endeavors. We do have some stuff in the works, like legitimate actual business things in the works. I got to update you off mic. I just remembered this now on the timeline for our first possible event, where it's going to be right around when we're going to do it, because we're going to have to start promoting it soon. Once I get that meeting, we're good to go. Also, What's the Fuss episode 97.
Yes.
It just came out. I listened with the J Flow and Computer.
Mm-hmm. Just released yesterday.
From the Burn It Down Show, just released it yesterday. I listened to the first half of that this morning. I listened to the first half of Pounding the Gap. There's not enough time in the world, man. I got it. Actually, what happened was I was listening to one on my phone while I was out doing errands. And then I came home. I don't have Pounding the Gap in my tablet, so I'll just pull up What's the Fuss and I'll listen to Pounding. You know, I'll get through them. There are shows.
But yeah, Pounding the Gap also came out yesterday along with What's the Fuss.
Yes, and you guys talked a little bit about the Patino stuff, right, with the college basketball. I heard you get into that, and which is like, fucked up, man. I mean, what's going on over there?
And the fact that it's so close to Paterno.
Like, that too. You're like, is a Paterno? Did Paterno do something? First off, he's dead. Second, Patino does sound like Paterno. What the hell?
It does.
And he is like the highest paid coach ever. He's like, I don't know about these recruits getting hookers.
Lies.
Man, there are lies. The lying liars and the lies that they tell. But this isn't a sports show. You want to hear about that? You got to listen to Pounding the Gap, a sports show hosted by Hurricane Bill Helveston.
Yes.
Stumbled on that one. And co-hosted by Big Mike Hutchinson?
Yep.
Hutchinson. There we go. Hutchinson with super producer Steve updating people on his preferences of uniform colors and helmet styles.
It's weird that they're now getting into like the finish. Like there's like matte finishes and like shiny finishes.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
It is weird, I agree.
Why?
Because new styles, man. Have you seen any? One team did like chrome helmets.
That's what I mean. Like, you know, yeah.
Like straight up chrome. Like, man, the sun might be hitting that thing. They're going to blind people.
That's probably what it is. Like, they're like blinding the
defenders. Make sure everyone, but they all have like the face guards that are like dark face guards.
Yeah.
Tinted
Or the ones that are not only tinted, but have like they're wearing Oakleys, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's all colorful.
Can I get a helmet with a tinted face guard, but it also has like the side mirror so I can see behind me, like those spy glasses?
Oh, my God, we can. Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember those? You guys remember those glasses? Did you ever have those? I never had them.
No.
I wonder if they actually worked. They even use them in True Lies. Except there were cameras. They used the camera in there, right?
Remember that? You know the little ones like with the bicycle helmet, but it has like a little thing coming out, like that. It's a side view mirror.
Yeah, it's like the arm like we have here on the mics that hold up the pop screens.
It reminds me of like the dentist when you that thing, the mirror that they put in your mouth while they're scraping.
Because it's got that hook on it.
Yeah.
The hook's inward, so you can like stick it straight in. And yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so what I want is a football helmet with a dark visor, with a spy look behind me mirrors, and the mirror sticking out of the side as well, so I can use those as like rear view mirrors.
Oh, absolutely.
So that way I can see all around me at all times. But
you can
also
do that in theaters to see who's
but also
being loud behind you.
Yes, or so I can see who's using their phones behind me. But God damn it, I would not have been distracted if I didn't have this awesome helmet.
But at that point in time, can you see anything in front of you?
Why?
For what?
I can see. Yeah, for what? I can see everything else. All right, I'll install a video camera system with the camera on the top of the helmet facing forward, and then it'll project the image onto the inside of my visor. All right, so at this point now, the visor is just going to be a plastic plate, not even see-through, but then the image will be projected from the camera, the GoPro, onto the screen in front of me so I can see what's in front of me.
A big, like an iPad, like, clipped to the front.
Seriously, why don't you just strap a computer to your face?
I mean, isn't that what like those Google Vortex 3D goggles
are? The Google glasses, yeah.
You just slap a phone into something, and then you attach it to your face, and that's how you do VR.
Oh, yes, augmented reality.
Yes, it's like not even, I mean, come on, guys.
Yep.
You're not even just using my phone. I could do that with a box.
Yep.
People do that. I've seen people take a cardboard box, right? Yeah. And then you cut a hole in it the size of your screen. And then so then you can put your phone on top of the box facing down. Mm-hmm. And then you stick your head, like you lay down, stick your head in the box looking up. And then you make your own little theater because then it's super dark in there. And you have the screen like a foot away, but it's all you see. And it's, I've seen pictures of it online. Looks like it works. I haven't tried it yet, but I want to.
Crespo's cardboard theater.
Yeah,
we can start selling kits online.
Yes, just have a bunch of stickers on it. Stickers on cardboard boxes, and then you give them also some cheap child safety scissors because they have to cut out the hole to fit their phone screen.
It's already perforated.
Several perforations so they can pick the proper one for their phone size. Mm-hmm. Okay, we can do this.
And they're like $4, like the cardboard ones.
The cardboard ones?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but then we can upgrade.
But you got to hold them though. Plastic. Like there's no like headset. Like you got to like hold it up.
No, it's
You strap this bitch straight to your face.
No, it's on the ground, and then you have to lay down, and then you stick your head in it, looking up.
Oh, so
You're laying on your back, and then the box is like that. So So the phone is like this, and you're on your back.
So it's like a mat box.
It's a mat box. You need a mat box, but it's a movie theater mat box. We're making a movie theater mat box. Convert your phone,
or is it
into your own personal movie theater?
Yeah. You call it movie mat.
Movie mat. You won't mind, will you?
He can't.
He doesn't listen
to the invented show. The mat box, goddammit.
You invented the mat box. He doesn't even listen to the show, guys. Cinema Crespity, so episode 247 is going to start now. 3, 4, 5, 6, 2, 8. With the streaming pick of the week, which means I got to hit this button. All right, here we go. A little too much going on at once.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
That's right, streaming pick of the week time. It's your first time listening to the show. God bless you that you're still listening 10 minutes in. I don't know how you do it, but you're great. You're a wonderful human being, and we love you. We do the streaming pick of the week every week. We have the randomizer 9000.1. Our guest uses it just like Etchy did while that intro was playing to see what is this week's pick of the week, either on Hulu or Netflix or HBO. And if you have any of these services, you can check it out. Drew also lets you know where it can be rented. So, Steve, go ahead and let us know what is this week's Netflix pick of the week.
This week's pick is The Imitation Game, and it is on Netflix.
All right, there we go. Let me write that down
for my... I have not seen this one.
Notes. All right, well then, Steve, The Imitation Game is starring Benedict Cumberbatch.
Okay, so it's pretty new then.
Mm-hmm. Within the last couple years. Maybe two Christmases ago. Not last Christmas season, but the one before. Oscar season, I should actually say.
Yeah, I mean, it's the story of Alan Turing, how a homosexual autistic man basically invented the first computer to crack German codes during what, World War II?
World War II. They were trying to crack the German codes, having trouble. He came up with the machine that was essentially the first like learning computer.
Yeah.
And it's like a gigantic thing with all these knobs. It's like really, really fun. It was
the first computer. So it was an analog computer. There was no digital anything.
Yeah.
So
punch cards and shit.
Pre-punch card. This was before punch cards would have made things so much easier for them.
Yeah, they were so there. He was inventing things to figure it out, and spoiler alert, you know, he used it to crack many of the codes and to figure out what they were communicating. It was fantastic. Saved lives. Well, actually, there's a big debate in there how they had information. Like, we could see all these lives now, and the intelligence military tells us like we have the info, but we can't necessarily use it because of these reasons. And it's like, oh, these people, it gets into some interesting things and
some moral quandaries.
Yes, I did read that they played up the whole autistic Asperger's thing a little too much for some people's liking.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was a little. I mean, that's kind of the way he was.
Well, it's also. I mean, they played it up more than they needed to. That he was still a pretty charming guy, and
well, I mean, 100%.
He didn't have too many social issues, and in the movie, he's played up as being like super awkward.
Yeah.
And like really struggling with social interactions or whatever. But in any case, it's still a good movie, well made. The guy who did it, his name is Morten Tildum, Tyldum, something like that. Scandinavian fella. I believe he's the same guy who did Headhunters. Remember that movie, Drew?
Headhunters?
Yes.
That was a really good movie, and then it got even greater because it got super weird.
It gets crazy. The movie gets crazy. It's a great thriller that I don't know if it's still on Netflix.
Man, would you consider it like a sci-fi thriller? Because it gets so weird.
Chris. I don't know about sci-fi. Can you look it up on Just Watch to see if it's available anywhere? Because it used to be on Netflix. I don't think it anymore. It does co-star. Jamie Lannister.
Yes, it does. First time we saw him.
Outside of Game of Thrones, yeah. And I saw that movie at the Florida Film Fest like 4 years ago, I think. I can't remember. That's a great one, too.
Oh, yeah, from 2011. It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Headhunter's still on Netflix. Yep. So people should check that out as well. Imitation Game and Headhunters. There you go, guys. A double feature apropos of nothing. Just watch them both. Hey, Steve, you just posted on PFT Media.
I did.
I see what you're doing there.
I'm trying to get better at that. I forget to take pictures, and I forget to post things. Like,
Yeah,
I always forget to do that. I record, and then I go, that was a great episode. Bye.
But yeah. You gotta, because we don't have a social media. We are the social media department. We need a social media department.
Yeah.
We need an intern.
We need money.
Well, for an intern, you don't.
Nope. No, that's true. You need money for an intern.
For an intern, you don't. And there are shows, singular shows, not even networks, singular shows that have interns. I think we as a network could justify an intern.
I think we could. You just got to teach him shit, right?
That's the whole point. You have to. That's the thing with an intern. You can get away with not paying the person by the fact that you're teaching them stuff.
Real world application.
And that it is almost, this is even written in the law, it is almost to the detriment of your company to have someone of such little inexperience working for you, because for it to be free labor, you know.
Yeah.
You got to teach them something. And yep. It can't be someone that already knows what they're doing. And
yeah.
So that's the thing. It's just easier for me to. I got all the Twitter accounts on my phone.
I'll just do it myself. When people like,
I just do it while I'm taking a shit. You know?
When people apply to be an intern and all that, you know,
yeah,
like, aren't they? I always assumed this, but I didn't know. Pretty close to the end of their.
Oftentimes, yes, they do have some experience, and then they are then just trying to use for practical world knowledge. So yeah, we'd be looking for like college students. What a young college co-ed, dude. Not creepy at all. If you're a young college co-ed who wants to be creeped out by some mid-30-year-old dudes, hit us up at pftinterns@sexualharassment.com, and we will we'll teach you things.
Are you attracted? Sexual harassment? Call.
Guys, check out Imitation Game on Netflix and Headhunters as well, because I just felt like throwing that in. Let's do that box office recap. Time for the box office top five. Drew, what is number five?
Number five this week, Flatliners.
Oh, yes.
Made $6.7 million.
6.6?
6.7.
Excuse me.
On a budget of 19.
19, all right, cheap movie. Not a bad opening weekend for a movie that seemed like it was very under-advertised.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one trailer for this in front of one movie. We go to the movies all the time. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
I expect to see trailers multiple times. I saw the Flatliners trailer once. Didn't look very good. Checked the Rotten Tomatoes score. Last I checked, 0%. Drew, look up that Rotten Tomatoes score.
Could that be because... Wait a minute. When nobody has done any reviews yet, does it show up as 100% or is it 0%?
It shows up. If there's zero reviews, there's no number there. And it'll say zero reviews. Or
okay.
And then as... Yeah, if there is then just one review, it'll say like 100%, 0%.
Yeah, I know.
But it'll say only one review.
Out of 36 ratings, it is still 0%.
What about the audience score?
43%.
That is terrible. That means this movie is bad, bad. The original's not even that good. Flatliners, which is then actually makes a good candidate for a remake.
Yeah.
If you have a movie with a fun idea and it's not that good originally, then maybe we can already improve on it. And
well, here's the thing, Chris. Mm-hmm. Michael Douglas has made this movie twice now.
And Michael Douglas.
He's the producer.
Oh, did he? He produced it?
Of both these. Actually, okay. Of the first one and this one. Just found that out today.
I didn't realize
that. Reading an article.
I did not realize that he produced the second one.
He produced both of them.
Okay. Wow. I didn't realize that.
So it just seems like they have a bad idea that they are forcing on us.
No, it's a fine idea. So he's got, it's medical students, I believe, right? And they essentially killed themselves. You know, in a controlled setting so that they can die for a minute. They cross over. They're really getting the DMT dump in their brain is all they're doing.
All they want to do is trip on DMT.
Yeah, all they're doing is getting their natural DMT dump. And then they restart their heart and they bring them back to life. But then that whole thing causes horrific consequences for the people who partake. And there's no reason why you can't take that just kernel of an idea and really make something effective and creepy and crazy and cool.
That's a great premise.
It's a great premise. It's a small enough idea that you can build on it, but it's a big enough idea that it works as in its own thing.
And it failed twice.
I don't know. And it failed twice. It's crazy. Yeah, absolutely. Failed twice. So, Apparently, this time even worse than the last one, because the last one is just known as like a mediocre film.
It's just kind of
0%.
It's there. 0%. It's like, we know this movie's there. I mean, if you want to watch it, go ahead.
Actually, can you tell me what the average rating is out of 10?
Well, for the critics, it's 3.5.
3.5 out of 10.
For the audience, it's even lower, 2.9.
God damn, that's terrible. Yeah, that's the real number. 0% is a startling number, but just a 3 out of 10 is bad, bad. Mm-hmm. Bad. Well, there you go. That's why people are like, fuck these movies, are garbage, because they see shit like that.
Yep.
Still made $6 million. Terrible movie. No one liked it. Barely got any advertising. Made over $6 million opening weekend. Is that Ellen Page power? Is that Ellen Page power?
Maybe.
Ghostbusters is in it.
I love Ellen Page.
Nobody.
I do, too. I think she's fantastic.
I don't think anybody.
I think she needs more work. Right? She's it. She's like the star of it. She's on the poster.
Yep.
Yeah, I love her. I think she's great. I would like to see more Ellen Page stuff.
Number four this week.
Number four.
The Lego Ninjago movie.
Ninjago.
An additional $12 million, total 35.
35. You know, proving that while people loved the Lego movie and Lego Batman still was well received and made a lot of money, Lego in and of itself not a wanted or desirable or bulletproof franchise that they thought it was going to be.
Nope. Mm-mm. You've got to have either something special like the Lego movie or a more profitable... Like, if they did Lego Iron Man, that would probably bank.
A Lego Star Wars movie would probably do pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Oh, definitely.
Right? But then just...
Ninjago. Exactly.
Just one of their lines of toys. Mm-hmm. That feels like really...
They're going to need to use actual materials... You know, turn to the Lego. Lego Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, come on, it can't be worse than the last one.
Yeah. It will be an improvement.
Yeah, it's pretty low bar there.
Yeah, exactly.
It will be, for sure, an improvement. Transformers, now you're just robot chickening everything with Legos.
Why not?
I'm fine with that.
Let's do it.
Yeah, as opposed to Ninjago. So what is it? Ninjago's, they're like ninja Japanese flavored Legos.
Basically, yes.
They're teriyaki flavored Legos.
They're teriyaki. Oh, God, it's so racist. That's teriyaki Legos, yes.
Teriyagos?
Maybe some General Tso's Legos.
I had wondered where Ninjago came from.
I only knew from this now, from reporting on it. So it looks like they're all, it's Asian-y.
Uh-huh.
Which is, why? To get into that market? Are we pandering?
Why? Because dragons are fun toys, and ninjas are fun toys.
Wait, they have Lego dragons?
Like the Japanese, the orange-tailed straw long dragons? Yeah.
Well, they have the Japanese traditional dragon. Yeah. I was once the head of one of those dragons in a, I don't even know why, but it was in third grade at my school, and it was some class group thing, and it was in the auditorium, and like all the parents were there, mm-hmm. and I got to be the head, and he was like, you got to like shake it and do all that stuff, and then all the other kids were the rest of the body.
And the head turns like from side to side.
Yeah, I had to learn how to like turn it and shake the head at people and stuff like that, and at one point we were supposed to, and then once we get halfway up the aisle, you're supposed to, like, oh, and then the whole dragon runs and it leaves at the same time, and I booked it. I went flying.
And nobody else could
Catch up with me, so the dragon separated, and everyone started laughing, and it was a good time.
Congratulations.
Good times. Thank you very much. So, yeah, make a movie out of that instead of Ninjago and make the same amount of money.
Number three this week.
I'm talking about specifically a movie about me as a kid doing the dragon head dance.
Number three this week.
Dragon head dance.
Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
Isn't the dragon head dance a song from one of the Beverly Hills movies, Pointer Sisters?
No.
Everyone's doing the dragon head dance.
Weekend gross is $17 million, total 66.
The dragon head dance.
To 104.
What was that? What one? Which movie?
Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
An additional $17 million, total 66 on budget of 104.
Have you seen this yet?
No.
Have you seen the first Kingsman, Etchy?
No.
The first one's good.
I wanted to see this one.
Yeah.
But between what you said about it and how little I've heard about it since it came out, makes me think it's probably not that good.
No one's like, man, you gotta go see that Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
Exactly.
Golden Circle,
everybody
bro.
Was saying that about the original Kingsman. Yeah. Everyone's like, seriously, go see that fucking movie.
Kingsman, that good word of mouth. Did we look up the Rotten Tomatoes? I don't think we did. Look it up for Golden Circle. Do you like etchy, like, spy movies, like James Bond movies and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then, the first Kingsman, it's pretty much...
it's like almost like a spoof on
it's
that.
Like, what if James Bond was tasked with finding, like, his next, like, 008, and he went to, like, a ghetto and found a young kid, and he's like, I'm gonna train you to be the next Bond. And then he goes through, like, James Bond school and then becomes James Bond.
Interesting.
But
that could be very good or very bad.
Exactly. Which is what I thought when I first saw the premise and I saw the trailer. I was like, this could be great. This could be terrible. It's great. It's a lot of fun because it's inventive. It's creative. And because it's not James Bond, it's their own thing, it's based on a comic book series, they go places and do things that you wouldn't expect in a James Bond movie. So you're ready for all these conventions. Mm-hmm. You're ready for the plot to unfold in a certain way, and then they take lefts here and there, and you're like, what? And they're flipping a lot of stuff, and it's really fun. The Golden Circle is missing a lot of that.
50%.
Stuff. 50%, right down the middle, 50% out of how many reviews?
207.
All right, so I mean, half the people like it, half the people don't, but what's the average rating?
5.3.
So it's even mediocre, like, come on, man. What's the consensus?
Kingsman: The Golden Circle offers more of everything that made its predecessor so much fun, but lacks the original's wild creative spark.
Yeah, it's not as creative. So they have an electronic lasso?
I saw that. It's in the preview.
Yeah, you seen the preview, how it cuts a guy in half? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. He doesn't use it any more than that.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, and I hear it's the same thing.
I lost it.
I hear it's the same thing with Jeff Bridges and Channing Tatum. Like, they're both in the movie.
But they're not
in the movie. They're not really in the movie.
Jeff Bridges is the M. Stick mm-hmm. with the James Bond motif. He's the American M, so he's always behind the desk sniffing cigars and dipping his fingers in whiskey and like licking his fingers and stuff.
So he's not wearing pants the entire time.
He's not wearing pants the entire
time. Awesome.
Channing Tatum's in one scene that you see most of in the trailer, and then for some reason he's like, whatever his storyline is, got like cut out.
Apparently, that's always weird.
I read that 40 minutes of the movie got cut out. And it's already like a 2 hour and 10 minute movie.
God damn.
So it was too long to begin with.
Yeah.
And then, so.
That's way too long.
It was bad playing on their part. It's a bummer. And then they did end it with like, this is how the Kingsman will continue. Like the third in the series with more work between the Statesman and the Kingsman. And I don't want to say what happens, but it's a fun little idea of what the next movie is going to be. But
if it's going to happen.
If it's even going
to
happen.
I was going to say, at this point, I mean, do you think it's even going to come close to breaking even?
I mean, it's made $66 million
on a budget of 100?
Budget of 104. Foreign market, it's made 126. Worldwide, we're over 200, right? We're about 200 right
now. So it's over break even. It's going to make it, even with marketing, it's going to make its money back. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of, will Matthew Vaughn want to continue the story? It's actually, because he's British, almost talk British for a second. It's actually his only sequel he's ever done. Did you know that? Straight up.
Well, it's garbage, so.
Yeah, it's garbage.
Maybe he should stick to not doing sequels.
Maybe he should stick to not doing sequels. I like how I recovered into the British accent. I stumbled on a word. You guys see that? You guys see what I just did?
I did see that.
That's some pretty good professional podcasting shit, man.
Except you're an amateur.
No, man. We got money's rolling in soon.
Soon.
Until
that day. Until that check is signed.
You son of a bitch.
Number two this week.
We have an LLC and everything.
Yep. Anybody can have an LLC. You got a couple hundred dollars in an internet connection, you got to have an LLC.
You know how many businesses out there are not making money and they're still businesses?
A lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
A lot. Number two this week. Nobody says you can't run a failing business.
No, man. And now I'm going to call Restaurant Impossible. They're going to come over here and like, this is our failing restaurant. Like, this is a podcast studio. Like, I know, help us.
Number two this week, American Made. Weekend gross is $17.016 million.
American Made, the new Tom Cruise joint directed by his Edge of Tomorrow director, Doug Liman. So apparently on the set of Edge of Tomorrow, Tom Cruise and Doug Liman bonded over how they're both licensed pilots.
Huh. Ah. Yeah,
they're both licensed to fly small planes.
So they made a movie about flying planes.
And so there's that already. They bonded over that. And then Doug Liman, his father is Arthur L. Liman. Arthur L. Liman was the lead counsel for the special prosecution of the entire Iran-Contra scandal. That whole investigation.
So he knows.
So his father knows. Did the research, did the work. So yeah. When the project came across Doug Liman's desk, he's like, this obviously speaks to me.
My dad worked on this stuff literally. I know the story.
And I fly planes.
Yeah. And I know a bankable movie star who also flies planes.
Well, yeah, when he took it to Tom Cruise, Cruise was like, I'm in. Which, if Barry Seal was still alive, because, you know, he's an old guy. If he was still alive, if you see pictures of Barry Seal, he would be like, Tom Cruise, that's amazing. Thank you for
making me look this good.
For not casting like a 4-foot sentient blob that you just found in the street, because he is not a good looking man. America Made, the story of Barry Seal, who was a TWA pilot in the 70s, and he was a small-time smuggler in the movie portrayed as a cigar smuggler. In real life, he was, I think, smuggling weed for people. Approached by the CIA to work for them as a surveillance pilot for South American, like, insurrections, mm-hmm. you know, country insurrections, because South America was crazy in the 70s. Tied him as a surveillance pilot. That morphed into him working with the drug cartels, make his own side money. That morphed into him working with the government to work with the drug cartels to help fund the Contras, which morphed into, like, the whole crazy story of the Iran-Contra thing and how that all happened. Yeah. And it is, obviously, because it's a movie, even though Doug Liman had that connection and actually had fights with the screenwriter about putting certain scenes in and taking things out, and like he was like, that didn't happen. Or my dad found no evidence of this accusation that you want to put in this movie about the CIA.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put it in the movie. And the screenwriter was like, no, it's good storytelling. Why not just put it in? And you know, so he still wanted to hew to the truth in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But still, if you read the actual story of Barry Seal, the actual story of what happened, and you look compared to the plot of the movie, there's still things that are changed and rearranged and shit like that, you know, for movie purposes. So it's not a documentary.
No, exactly. You're telling a story.
You're telling a story. It's not a 60 minutes segment, but they get the big beats right, the big story beats, and especially a lot of the way drugs were flowing back and forth and arms, and then the way the presidencies they affected, you know, the way the government agencies were going after drugs and what their focus was, and the DEA and stuff like that. There's a lot going on in this weirdly haphazard kind of movie, I thought. You know, it's good. I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was great. The structure of it is weird.
Yeah, it is. When you're going along and then all of a sudden the first VHS thing pops up where he's in 86.
Yeah.
And
it establishes the 78, and then all of a sudden it's Tom Cruise talking to a video camera, home video camera, and it says in the bottom, 86.
86. And I was like, okay, sure, I get that. And then they kept doing that a couple times.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the movie, all of a sudden you catch up.
Yeah.
And you see him setting up that camera and starting off, and then it's kind of, it's like, what? Why? That is some odd time travel for a pretty straightforward movie.
Yes. It's unnecessarily convoluted.
Yes.
Narrative framing device.
Yes.
This story, they could have just told it
straight from start to finish in very plain English.
Linear A to B.
Yeah.
A, B, C, D, E. No need for this. Let's jump back in. Yeah. So he can narrate his own story. Just throw in a voiceover narration if you want him to narrate it. So it was good. Tom Cruise is great. Because he's Tom Cruise.
He looks funny with a missing tooth.
Yeah, because that one scene, he gets beat up at one point. It's just got a black guy and a missing tooth, like right around here. It's a funny
look. He looks funny with a missing tooth.
He looks pretty goofy. Domhnall Gleeson.
Oh, I love me some Domhnall.
You know Domhnall Gleeson? Not personally, but Star Wars The Force Awakens. Remember that one? Did you see that?
Yeah.
That
little movie? No, I didn't.
You never saw it? You're one of the few that haven't seen it? Yeah. What was the most popular movie that
he was in? Ex Machina.
Did you see Ex Machina?
I did.
He's the
lead.
He's the not Oscar Isaac, but the other guy.
Okay.
He's the guy who
falls in love with the robot.
He's the one doing the Turing test with the robot and falls in love with
it. I love that movie. That was a great movie.
That was a great movie. Yeah, that's fantastic. He is in the movie as in American Made as the CIA guy who recruits Barry Seal. He's great in it, and the flying stuff is all cool, and it's a good movie, I would say.
Okay.
I would say. I mean, how did you feel about it overall?
I thought it was a good movie. It's got a pretty lightning pace. You know, it keeps you going
Squeezing it a lot in.
Obviously, the soundtrack is fantastic because of just the times.
They pick the right songs.
Yeah, so they pick the right songs. Yeah. I mean, it was good enough. It didn't, you know. I mean, yes, weird narrative device, unnecessary. But other than that, it was a fair movie.
It was fine. I mean, I think it's better than that Kill the Messenger movie that came out a couple years ago with Jeremy Renner, where he was the journalist who uncovered something or other.
Yeah. Almost.
I can't.
They're almost playing like the same type of dude.
It's almost the same thing, right? But, same type of story. Drugs and the government.
Yeah, yeah. But Tom Cruise pulls it off much
better. This one's a lot better.
He's Tom Cruise.
Was this?
I mean, Jeremy Renner's good, but he's not Tom Cruise.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Was this the movie that during filming there that had that accident?
Yes, a plane crashed during this,
and a motorcyclist.
No, that's Deadpool.
Oh damn it! Yeah,
Deadpool 2. A stunt woman died on her first day. On her first day on the set, she lost control of the bike, crashed through a plate glass window, and died.
Yeah.
Zazie Beetz is a stunt woman, actually. And Zazie Beetz, and no, but on American Made, a plane crash because it's all small aircraft, and there was a plane crash, and people died on that plane, and the two families have teamed up, and they sued the producers of the movies, but they still left. While Tom Cruise is named within the suit as like being part of at fault, he's not named as a defendant.
Okay,
which is weird. I think.
That is very weird.
Yeah, I think I don't know why.
I don't even know how that works.
Because you do not fuck with Tom Cruise.
They didn't want to fuck with the wrath of the Scientology.
I was about to see I mean, most of the time you sue the deepest pockets. Those pockets are a little too deep to sue.
They're too deep. It's a bummer. But yeah, a plane crash, and part of the suit in the complaint, it says that they were coming up with ideas on the spot as opposed to the pre-planned stuff that they were already going to do and they felt was safe and they rehearsed. While they did that, on top of that, they came up with new ideas. They're like, well, do this and do that, and they pushed them to do dangerous plane stunts, and also they shot long days that caused fatigue, and those were contributing factors to the crash, so that's why they're being sued. So it'll probably get settled out of court. But still, well, is it worth the plane crash and those lost lives for us to see this movie?
Probably not.
That's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah, no. If people died making this movie, it was not worth it.
Was the budget $100 million and a person?
And a person. Like Fitzcarraldo, someone died making that.
Yeah, but that was some brown Indian.
Yeah, guy. That was a native Amazonian tribesman who, so they're not even an extra.
No.
Extras.
No. Yeah. They weren't even getting paid.
Yeah, Werner was like, I mean, what's the nature? Nature rejected them, and so do I.
Yep.
Like, God damn, Werner.
Number one this week.
You really don't care about humanity, do you?
No, he doesn't.
I'm going to make my movie.
And that's why I love him so much.
Hey, you know.
Number one this week, Chris.
Shout out to that dead guy. He helped make Fitzcarraldo.
It. Weekend gross is $17.3 million.
So last week, Kingsman was number one. It was number two. But now it is back to number one?
Yes.
That's crazy.
That is interesting. That hardly ever happens.
The difference between number one and number three is $310,000.
All right, so you know what? These are estimates. I bet you tomorrow when the actuals come out, like they do on Monday, I wouldn't be surprised to see how those top three flip around.
Yeah.
It could be like number three movie's number one, number two is number... It could flip around all crazy.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. So how much total for it?
Total $291,000.
Wow. God, man, highest grossing horror film of all time right there. Yeah.
Plus 262 foreign.
Oh, not bad. International.
Worldwide,
553. Horror doesn't travel in the same way. Horror and comedy are very specific to cultures.
Yeah.
So they don't travel as well around the world. Just like while we may get a lot of Japanese action films, or I guess we like Japanese horror films here in America.
Yeah.
Or Chinese horror. We don't get Chinese horror a lot. We don't get comedies from any of those countries.
No,
at all.
Because it does. It just
it's different. It's their own comedy. It's different stuff. Culturally different. Different sensibilities. So I'm surprised that it is traveling as well as it is at matching domestic almost. Man, over 500 half a billion worldwide for it
on a budget of 35 mil.
No wonder. Wow. Fox couldn't announce that. Is it Fox? No, Warner Brothers. They couldn't announce that.
No.
That second release date fast enough. September 6th or 9th, 2019.
And now they can afford some quality actors for the adults.
They're going to get that.
Now they can be like, Amy Adams, check.
Yeah.
You know, whoever else, check.
Scoot McNary.
Yeah, check.
Yeah, we're going to get us, who else do we need? Scoot McNary, Amy Adams. Oh, black guy. Black guy's going to be, Chewy. Gonna be older. Chewie Tawiji for it. It's perfect. Fat guy. I think Ben loses weight, so he's not fat when he's an adult.
Okay.
So who's someone that looks like they have a fat inner child?
Fat Pratt.
Fat Chris Pratt. Yes, Chris Pratt. You nailed that one. And the other two guys can be just like, give me some random white dudes.
Yeah. But they can afford all those people now.
Give me some random white guys and those people, we can make ourselves an It Chapter 2. Bring the kids back. Finn Wolfhard doing his thing. It's like, big dicks. Everyone's like, hey, naughty mouth children are fun.
They are.
I was actually surprised, though, that people were into this. Just because, like, the horror film community, like, the ones that are just, like, that's all they watch, and they love the old cheesy stuff, and da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
To take, a remake of a classic, like, that just seems to me something that horror fans would stab to death they saw it.
You would think so.
But you see, like Chris said, yes, it is a horror classic, but, like Chris has brought it before, it was a
1990.
It was a 1990 TV movie.
Yeah.
You are remembering nostalgia.
You're remembering Tim Curry being great.
Yes. That movie was awful.
It doesn't age well. And you know, so Simon Time. All right, we just did Simon Time trivia, episode 9 yesterday. He mentioned this on the show. He loves It movie. He loves it, loves it, loves it so much. He is also a huge Stephen King's his favorite author. Salem's Lot is his favorite book, apparently, which I didn't know about him. And so he's going back to reread some Stephen King stuff. He got Stephen King It audible book, and he says the book is terrible. It's so boring because it's like, why is it 1,000 pages? It's way too detailed. We don't need to know all this stuff. What was the other one that he was rereading? Not Cujo. He says that one maybe next. He was rereading another one. He said he's been halfway through it now for like 4 months that he just can't. Oh, Christine. He can't get through Christine, which I've never read. I've only seen the movie. And the movie itself isn't even that great. Like it because it's a John Carpenter movie. Mm-hmm. And they do a great special effect where every time they destroy the car, Christine, they then they found a way to like make it all the metal puff back out. And and like it reassembled, the car reassembles itself.
That's awesome.
Practically, and it looks super cool. I think it's a combination of like air pressure, probably, from within, and also like finding ways to destroy it from the inside, and then just reversing the footage, reversing film, so it looks like it's fixing itself. And stuff.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy that movie. If for those terms, but I'm not surprised that the book sucks. And he says that the It book is terrible, even though he loves the movie. So that's the thing. We remember Pennywise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We remember
Tim Curry.
Classic character. It's the same way, though, with the original Friday the 13th movies.
Oh, yeah. They're not good at all.
They are terrible films. Straight up terrible, terrible movies from start to finish.
But you remember Freddy.
Jason,
whatever.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay, apparently you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently you don't. Yeah, you got it mixed up. On the flip side of that, the original A Nightmare on Elm Street by Wes Craven is fantastic. It's like a really well-made, sweaty, gross nightmare logic horror film. The original Hellraiser is like, this movie's great, you know? So
the original Halloween, I love
the original Halloween still works, man. I saw that in a theater. They did like a anniversary showing special or whatever, Fathom Events. So I went, decent amount of people in there. Definitely people in there who had not seen the movie before. So for every little jump scare or scary moment, there were people screaming and they're freaking out. And I was like, yes, this movie still works, man. And it was on the it was in a big theater. So the screen was really big and they cranked up the sound and I sat up close like I like to. And man, this movie is effective. Nah. It's very cool.
You know, what I think really brought Halloween to life? Like, because, for the most part, Michael Myers is just very...
He's just a hulking shape.
Nondescript, just walking.
In the original.
Yeah, they called him the shape.
Yes, there you go.
Mm-hmm. But I think one of the moments that just like really blew me away that I absolutely loved and it really deepened it was he was in one of the houses with one of the babysitters and had the babysitter off their feet.
Yeah.
With a knife through him or whatever, you know?
In the kitchen, right?
It was in a hallway. It was in the hallway. And what I really loved, though, was he just stuck him up there and the guy was like, like kind of shaking and, drooling or whatever. Basically, the life was leaving him or whatever,
Yeah, yeah.
And then completely died, was completely still. And that's when Michael Myers was just continued to look at him, feet still off the ground.
Yeah.
And then kind of tilted his head like he was wondering something
like examining him or whatever,
pondering something and it's just like, oh my god, he's thinking, get out.
he's gazing upon his creation of death. It's like, oh, what's he thinking? This is weird. It's interesting how they can do stuff like that. It's fantastic. It's great stuff.
I met one of the shapes.
You met a shape?
Uh-huh. Because they didn't have the same one every time.
That's true. Yeah. The
I forgot which one. I don't remember. Not, I think it was like, I don't know.
Not the original.
No.
Whatever his name
it
was.
It might have been the original, to come to think of
you
it.
You think so? Gunter? Is, no, that's Leatherface. the real Leatherface's name is Gunter or something. Billy D is like,
he knows it all.
New movies on DVD. Speaking of the latest Pirates of the Caribbean, Pirates of the Caribbean, : Dead Men Tell No Tales comes out. So people can see that shit show of film. Actually, better than the last one. There are scenes that are worth watching. Any of the big set pieces and the practical effects stuff is actually really cool.
When the entire hotel is... Or that whole building is rolling down the hill.
It's a bank.
Whatever it was, that was a great practical effect.
It's a bank robbery where they try to steal a vault. They pull a vault out of a building, but it just gets stuck in the building. So they drag the entire building through a city, and it's a practical effect where they built a building and had it on a track. And they had
was fucking impressive.
It looks great.
It's what was this?
This is the latest Pirates of the Caribbean. There's also a scene where they capture Jack Sparrow and they're going to execute him, so they have him on a guillotine.
Oh, that's I knew it was a practical effect.
It's a practical effect. So they slap him, they strap Johnny Depp's character down on this guillotine that's up in the air so everyone can see it happen because it's in a town square.
Yeah.
And his pirate buddies shoot a cannon that hits the legs of the guillotine. So just as the blade comes down, he is like spinning in circles, strapped to the board.
So the centrifugal force is moving the blade up and down as he's rotating.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Because of gravity.
And they stick the camera right under his head so you can see the blade going back and forth. He's like, and it's like a practical effect. Yeah. They strapped him to a board. I read about the directors were like, we came up with this idea to strap Johnny Depp to a board and spin him in circles. And 6 months later, we're standing on a set and here we're doing it. And we couldn't believe that we actually got to do this.
To do that, yeah.
And apparently part of the way they got the job and part of how they got Johnny Depp to be like, not just show up and sleepwalk through the whole thing, is that they said they wanted to emphasize physical comedy. Mm-hmm. And they bonded, the three of them, because it was two directors, they bonded all three of them on Buster Keaton stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's all that old physical comedy, big set pieces, lots of moving parts. And the movie reflects that in those scenes. And that stuff is cool.
The good and the bad movies of the Caribbean, they've always been good at that.
Yeah.
You know, there's always been some, you know, physical, you know, practical effect that kind of, you know, makes you think of like, you know, those like reactions where, you know, like you flick a ball, which hits dominoes, which does this, which does that, you know,
a Rube Goldberg type of thing.
Yeah. Only it's, you know, Jack Sparrow, like, barely surviving something. Yeah. Like, you know,
exactly. Which is, this movie has that a few times.
And they always do a good job.
They do. And, it's worth seeing those scenes, if you can see them on your own via YouTube or something, it's worth
it. I'm sure they have it, yeah.
But there you go, on Divid. Also coming out this week, this never played in theaters around here, which bums me out, A Ghost Story.
No, yeah, we never got a chance to see that.
Casey Affleck dies as a ghost. Goes through millennia, apparently.
And then he has a sheet over his head and he stares at the house for eons.
For eons and eons. So, I want to see that. And Sofia Coppola's remake of The Beguiled comes out.
Oh, never got a chance to see that.
Yeah, so the reviews for that weren't as great as I was hoping they would be. So there's that. What's coming on theaters, Drew?
In theaters this weekend, The Florida Project.
Nice. That'll be here at the MZ in a few weeks, closer to the end of October. So nice to see that.
It looks fun.
It's starting to get its limited release. I'm looking forward to it. Mark Baratelli calls it the Poor People on 192 movie.
Well, yeah, because it's basically about a poor Florida family.
Yeah,
living out of a motel, living in the shadow of Disney World.
Yeah. Which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. So, also coming out this week, The Mountain Between Us.
Yes, Idris Elba and Kate Winslet survive a plane crash in a mountain, but then have to walk out of the wilderness together to survive. And they have a dog, too, apparently, in the trailer.
No, really?
They had a dog with them.
Interesting.
I was like, the dog survived, too? They had a dog, and the dog survived, and now they got to get the dog. I bet you halfway through making that movie, with trying to work with animals and all that snow and everything, they were like, looking at the screenwriter, why did you write a dog into this? Write the dog out, you dummy.
Also coming out this weekend.
No, we have the ASPCA is here, and they're watching us.
I was going to say, if you can avoid having a dog in a film,
two rules.
Same thing with kids.
Yes, those are the two.
Yeah.
Are supposed to be the two rules. If you want a smooth set, no animals, no children, and that'll help you out so infinitely.
Keep the writer as far away from the set as well.
Just keep them in, you keep them in a trailer out back, so when you need new sides, you can bang on that door.
Work, monkey!
Get to type in. and then you can run the pages, the new sides back to.
Also coming out this weekend, My Little Pony, the movie.
I'm surprised I haven't seen any marketing for this at all, because My Little Pony is surprisingly popular.
I mean, I guarantee you we're Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network.
Do you think there are actual commercials on those? But you watch cartoons.
I have not seen a single commercial for this.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is weird.
Much.
Neither have I.
Thank you very much. You watch them cartoons, man.
I do.
No marketing presence for this whatsoever.
Nope. Which is weird, because usually for children's films, they ramp it up a bit.
I'm so aware of when the Trolls movie comes out, or what was the one that the Emoji movie and shit like that, right? All the Despicable Me's and the Minions, etc., etc. I'm surprised there's a My Little Pony movie.
It is.
What about the bronies? How are the bronies supposed to know about the My Little Ponies?
I'm sure they already know about
it.
I'm kind of surprised one didn't come out earlier.
Right?
Honestly.
Yeah. Probably direct-to-video type stuff.
Oh, yeah, guaranteed.
By the way, I did go to YouTube and typed in Jack Sparrow and then G.
Yeah.
Bam, Jack Sparrow guillotine scene.
Nice. Yeah. People check that out. It's awesome.
And last but certainly not least, this tiny little movie called Blade Runner
2049. Blade Runner 2049 comes out, so I guess we're going to go see that.
Guess. Chris, we might be seeing that movie twice this week, depending on how good it is. I mean, sure, it's 163 minutes, but...
Yeah, it is 2.5 hours long.
I did watch Watchmen twice in one day. So I'm pretty sure I can do this.
I did that with Back to the Future a couple months ago. I watched it twice in one day. Yeah,
me and Chris saw Watchmen twice in the theaters one day. We saw it in the morning, and then as a joke,
and then
we went back at night. In the afternoon, I was like, "Hey, man, Watchmen's playing in like 20 minutes. Want to go?"
Let's go.
I was like, "Sure." I was like, "Oh, fine. I guess we're going."
Let's go see that Man of Watches. Blade Runner 2049. Looking forward to it coming out on Friday the 6th, the same day the new August Burns Red album comes out. Ooh. Too. So that's gonna be it's gonna be a fun day. And we gotta get like some RPX tickets or Dolby Atmos Theater or something like that.
Yeah, we gotta go crazy.
Like an ultimate presentation at least once.
Yeah.
Also, great early reviews for Blade Runner 2049. It started screening last week, so Twitter's been blowing up about it. Film Twitter, I should say, has been. And you know, a lot of we're throwing around the M word, you know, masterpiece.
Yeah, well, I mean, it happens.
Now we'll see about that. I don't know. All right, well then, hey.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Drew is here with your prescription for a life, and he is going to tell you what to do. Take it away.
Chris, Blade Runner comes out next week. Go see that goddamn movie as many times as you possibly can over that three-day period. I want billion-dollar opening weekend. Cogburn out.
If you want to help Dr. Drew, # billion-dollar opening weekend, everyone go see Blade Runner 2049 as many times as you can. Let's make it the success it probably doesn't deserve to be, but we want it to be anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Correct.
Who deserves that kind of success, really?
Nobody.
I mean, I do.
But... No, you don't.
Big ego, small self-esteem. Here we go. All right. Let's take a break here, guys. Crespo Disco time. My cup is empty, and it needs to be refilled.
And my bladder is full.
And Steve's bladder is full. So I don't have any movie music picked out yet because I just didn't. So, oh, man.
Mm.
I got that Catch Me Outside.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Bad Baby.
Yeah.
You're a Bad Baby?
Yeah.
Come on.
I heard she had a single. I haven't heard it.
She got,
it's hot.
She got three singles out.
I'm not
going
to lie.
She's got three singles out.
Two of the three are hot.
Yes. These Hoes is great. What's the one you like is what you know? Something like that. High Bitch is a fantastic song. I don't want to like Cash Me Outside.
Yeah.
I don't want to like this 14-year-old white girl who's apparently a troublemaker, wants to beat up her mom, told off Dr. Phil. That's the thing. I don't like Dr. Phil either.
I was going to say, I do like...
Dr. Phil's kind of a punk bitch.
He sucks. I want to slap him in his mouth.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
With your penis?
Oh,
I
was just going to say I that was a plus. Well, actually, but then I started to think like, no, wait, I have to backtrack on that because she didn't do a good job of... bitching out Dr. Phil.
Yeah, not even just the whole...
Because she just wanted to hit her the whole time. Like, she wasn't doing a good job.
Yeah, exactly. She became a meme because she was so obnoxious on that show.
Yeah.
and was speaking with like a mumble mouth the whole time. Catch me outside. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And then she's getting like all these appearance fees. And I'm like, this is the worst of what America has to offer. Yeah. Making someone who seems to be undeserving of all this accolades and the money because they're just notorious for being on a fake reality type TV program. Mm-hmm. This is the worst of modern culture, et cetera, et cetera. And then she drops this song and it's a fucking banger, Steve. It's so good.
I'll have to hear it.
It's so good. And people want to hate on it. And I'm like, nah, you're just hating.
Well, you know she
you're
didn't.
You're just hating because it's good.
You know she didn't make it,
no,
though.
No, but she's got with the right producers and yeah. she can rhyme perfectly fine. She raps better than Iggy Azalea, who's been trying for years to be a rapper. She raps better than Iggy Azalea.
Iggy Azalea is just attractive. That's the only thing she's got going for her.
And even there, it's like,
yeah.
And just she's only 14. She's got three bangers. She's got a good media team behind her. She's calling herself Bad Baby. B-H-A-D, B-H-A-B-I-E, which I love. Yeah. Everything is misspelled. Bitch is B-I-C-H.
I like these hoes.
Hoes is H-E-A-U-X. U-X. It's fun. It's fun. And people want to hate. But if I don't know, the second I heard the song, I was like, I like it. Like, I wanted to hate on the song, and then as soon as it started playing, I'm like, I like it.
That's a really brilliant spelling, too, because LaCroix is very popular.
Yes.
Well, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
And a lot of people, like in Louisiana, one of their teams, it's instead of Go, G-O, mm-hmm. it's Go, G-E-A-U-X.
There you go. See?
So they're already doing that all over the place.
I love that stuff, man. So I'm going to play you guys some Bad Baby. And if you listen to the song's also only like a minute 45 seconds. So if you listen to the song and you hate it, then why? Ask yourself, why are you hating? Because you're hating for a reason. There's a very specific reason why you're hating. And then I'll play something else after that. I don't know. We'll all figure it out. And then we'll be back with the second half of the show. Team's got to go to the bathroom. I got to get a drink. She's going to smoke a cigarette. Here we go.
Oh my God, Ronnie.
White J's, white Porsche, white wrist, white horse. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch. I do not sniff it or roll it.
Nope.
It do not drip when I pull it.
Nope.
I do not run, I reload
nope.
it.
Nope.
I do not save it, I throw it. White J's, white Porsche, white wrist, white horse. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch. Please stop, please stop, please stop, please stop.
Stop that shit.
That fit look like you bought it at the Kia.
Was it on sale,
and it got a nerve to ask why she
yeah.
Why you counting all that money that we got? I ain't worried about no basic bitches. All y'all look like still fly spirit. All y'all must not have looked in the mirror. All y'all looking but the windows tinted like.
Hi, bitch.
I don't know what made I haters.
Hi, bitch.
Play if you want, but you know I ain't playing like. White J's, white Porsche, white wrist, white horse. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch. I do not sniff it or roll it.
Nope.
It do not drip when I pull it.
No.
I do not run, I reload
no.
it.
No.
I do not save it, I throw it. White J's, white Porsche, white wrist, white horse. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch.
Grown as hell and you still hating. I look at you and thank God I made it like. Hi, bitch.
What's the fuss?
Hey, Etchy, shouldn't we have done a Cinema Crespediso commercial by now?
Shouldn't we have? Yes, we should have, yeah.
Bill, yep. why didn't we do that?
I don't know. Etchy, why didn't we do that?
I didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
No,
oh,
I didn't
shit.
Do that.
Don't Bill? Look at me. I don't have any ideas. I hate commercials.
Let's play a clip then. I just got a letter from the police.
Dear Rocky, yeah. Thank you so much for your annual donation of yes. $12 and one sign that said GFY. We can only imagine because of your generous contribution that stands for good for you. Sincerely, Police Department.
A product of radio.
Welcome to the Questo Dome.
This one, I had another app where it was an air horn app specifically, and if I hit the button over and over, it would go, mur, 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 or let me do that. But this one, if you hit it, and then hit it again, it just shuts it off. So that gets, I don't, that's on my other app.
You're awful.
That's on my...
You're
so awful.
Yes, Chris, yes.
Yeah? Yeah? All right! Oh, all right! Nope, nope, random. Oh, it's still going.
I love it.
Place the blocks.
Correct, Steve.
Steve to the rescue, saving that terrible drop. Yep, all right. I'm just going to have this, I guess, random button queued up here, ready to go, just in case, because forget doing it for actually trying to do it right.
Because forget, yes. Chris.
Leave it up to the gods. That was it. It's just a bit of, that's the wrong time for that.
Actually, perfect timing for that.
You thought
actually.
It worked? You thought it worked?
Yeah. I mean, okay. Anytime anybody says the word God in my head, I hear...
guys, you know what? I probably should have had that shot of tequila. I saw that chilled bottle of tequila sitting in that freezer. I was like, you know what?
Did that one do it to you, Chris?
I don't know. We're going to find out. It's already been 20 minutes. Should have hit me by now? Probably would have. I'm fine. Second half of the show, we're here doing the plugs. Drew, where can people find you on interwebs?
At antihero419, all over said interwebs.
And what are you drinking over there?
I'm
out of the SBK Live local music showcase mug.
Man, I'm sure, you know what? I need to get like a box of these from them. I'm sure, there's at least 2 to 3 boxes of them left. I could use some new cupware.
I would use it.
Yeah, right. They may be at the Wall Street offices.
Still?
They still may be there in a random cubicle, an unused cubicle.
Yo, I'll pick that shit up, guys. You let me know, I will go get it.
Sometimes that back door is open. You just walk in there like you know what you're doing.
I mean, I kind of do know the... I know the layout of the place.
I know the layout. I know the exact cubicle where those boxes were. Yeah. It has been a couple years.
Yeah.
But then again... You
never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. Antihero 419 all over the internet. That includes Twitter.
Yes.
Instagram.
Correct. Facebook.
Could you find you using Antihero 419 on Facebook?
On your computer right now, go to facebook.com/antihero419. I pop up.
All right, there you go. And then send a friend request.
Yeah.
And Drew will friend you.
Because when you first sign up your Facebook account, you can choose what your backslash is.
Yes, and mine is my full name, actually. I think Christopher A. Crespo, which is like, I wasn't thinking.
And that's what a lot of people do.
Yeah, just their name.
Screw that. Anonymity, bro.
You did your anonymity, and then people can see that your real name is Drewster Cogburn. Mm-hmm. Not your real name.
No.
So funny how Drewster Cogburn's your show name.
It is, and the funny thing
is... I love it.
Yeah, I know, it's great, and people try to look me up on Drewster Facebook Cogburn. As Drewster Cogburn, and they can't find me, and they're like, who the fuck is this guy? I'm like, well, obviously...
But they could find posts in which easily. I reference Drewster Cogburn,
yes.
But then it's a picture, and then I tag Drew, and then you can see his actual name.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's Drew. Then you send a friend request, and then it sits there.
Uh-huh, yeah. Unless I've seen you face-to-face.
Do you have pending friend requests from...
No. Because I delete them.
Oh, you just delete them.
I go, not interested.
That is harsh. I let them stew in their friend request purgatory.
No, thank you.
No. Straight up delete.
Straight up, no thank you.
Because he's actually like, if I don't know you face to face.
Yeah. Then there's no...
Why are we friends?
Exactly.
I'll add anybody.
You'll add anybody?
So yeah. Chris.
I did the... Okay, I'll add anybody, but then I also was like, you know what? Why am I... trying to keep my audience small here. I'm on Facebook just to promote stuff anyway.
Yeah, I hate Facebook.
Exactly. I loathe it. If we weren't running a media company that is reliant on the internet, I wouldn't be on Facebook. I probably wouldn't be on Twitter. I love Twitter. I probably would not be on it because it gets me mad very fast. My life would be immeasurably better without social media.
Yeah.
But we need it for what we do. I can't imagine trying to promote podcasts through physical media.
No.
Are we gonna I do want to send out flyers. We should talk about sending out flyers. You can do that very, very cheap.
That actually reminds me of Mitch Hedberg with flyers where
why?
He goes, I feel like, you know, when you're, I'm going to butcher the shit out of this. But basically, I feel like the guy handing out flyers, he's really saying, here, you throw this away.
Yeah. No, that's true. Okay, no, okay, I used the wrong word. I used the wrong word, not flyers. Flyers are, yes, trash. It's the trash. Mailers.
Mailer, okay.
Mailers.
Like physical mail?
Yes, old school mailers. You can get those super cheap, just fucking mail bomb. No, not literally mail bomb.
No.
Just bombard people with pieces of mail that say, check out PFT Media. And it is an advertisement for an online service, but we're going to do it through physical media.
Yeah.
So it's super cheap. And if we send out 100,000 of them and 1% of the people actually check out the show, what is that? 1,000 people?
Yes.
Totally worth it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Totally worth it.
Well, and I do have to say, what we would have to do is we'd have to send out two that would have to go like the same, like back-to-back days, you know?
Okay.
So that when people get it, they're like, oh, what is this?
And then you throw it away. Out.
Yeah, and then the next one will just be like, I bet you threw the last one away.
I like that.
All right. So you probably threw away the first one, so here's this information again. It's kind of important.
It's coming together. This is coming together well. I like this a lot. Both off mic and on mic, we're coming up with great ideas. This is fantastic. All right, so people hit up Drew. Email him, drewlovesyou@letsbefriends.com, and you can become pen pals.
Mm-hmm.
That's his pen pals.
I like it.
Steve, promote some stuff.
I love it. I made this super simple. If you go to Google and you Google Etchy,
ETC.
Oh, yeah. ETCHIE.
ETCHI. That was awful, Chris. Chris. Chris, you are definitely feeling that tequila.
Oh, yeah. My. All right.
E.T. Chi.
You're going to have to drive me to the pho place later then. That's
right. And yeah, all my information comes up. The only thing that doesn't come up is steve.etchy@gmail.com. That is my personal email.
Okay.
I will read your stuff. And pftmedia.com.
Yes, pftmedia.com. Episode 97 of What's the Fuss just came out. Episode 2 of Pounding the Get just came out. All thanks to super producer Steve Etchy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
So please go to pftmedia.com, check out those shows. If you're listening to this, chances are by now, unless you're one of our super fans who listen on the, as soon as this comes, because you know, every show has that, people download and listen immediately.
Hi, Ron.
Ron's our homie, man. How's we love Ron. The Simon Time Trivia Show comes out on Monday, episode 9. Good times there. And Orlando Opinions, episode 7 is out by now. People check that out as well. And every other show on the network, Devils in the Details, coming out, new episode this week. This week's episode is about, the last one was just random hurricane stuff and a few historical natural disasters, but the newest, episode 6 will be about, you may be interested in this, Drew, even though you don't listen to podcasts and you resolve to never do so.
Mm-hmm.
they did a whole episode on the final, like, pure Chinese dynasty, the Ming Dynasty, and why it failed and all that stuff, and it was actually really, really fascinating stuff. It was really good, because I got to produce it, so I'm stuck here. I'm like, God damn it. But it's great. They do a great show. So it's awesome that they do a good show, because I'm here doing it.
It sounds super interesting. I'm sure I can find a documentary on the History Channel.
Yeah, but not one that has Pedro Lima cracking jokes the whole time.
Yeah.
Pedro Lima one-ups the History Channel.
Yeah, he really does.
Yes, Pedro Lima is a plus one. History Channel minus one. History Channel, come on. I'm over the Hitler stuff and the fake Oak Island shit. And what's new?
Oak Island stuff was good for a while.
And what are they doing now? They're doing another one now, right? They're doing a Montauk one.
Oh,
trying to uncover the secrets of all that Montauk stuff. If you want to know more about Montauk, Google Stranger Things. all right, guys, let's get into the show. Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo, pftmedia.com, like we talked about. And email the show, cinemacrespo@gmail.com. If you really like what we do, go to iTunes. Use your iTunes account and leave really quick 5-star reviews for Cinema Crespediso, What's the Fuss, Tidbits, which we do, Orlando Opinions, The Devils in the Details, Poking the Goddamn Bears, such a funny show. I love that show. We got media passes to send Poking the Bear to America's Cake Fair.
Yeah.
That you're doing in Orlando.
Nice.
Did I tell you about this, Drew?
No.
The 13th, the weekend of the 13th, America's Cake Fair is a huge cake convention. It's here in Orlando. Like 10,000 vendors, celebrity pastry chefs. It's this huge thing. Dude, we got press passes for Poking the Bear.
Nice.
Big Tim, Charlie Bowie, and Ryan Holmes are all going to be going. And I heard them on their show. They talk about how they're going to show up in character and like fuck around.
That's great.
And they're going to get us banned from future cake fairs. Yes. So they better get the most out of it. They better get the most out of it because we're not going to be allowed to go back in future years. Poking the Bear is going to a cake.
Yes. So let Poking the Bear eat cake.
Yes. Eat cake. Scotch and Good Conversation. We love Peter Von Zaborski. He's the man. Pounding the Gap, the sports show. Go to iTunes. Episode 2 is out. People listen to it. Go to iTunes and rate and review all of these shows. 5-star review. Super quick. Great show. Exclamation point. Over. Submit. It'll take you a few minutes, but it'll be worth it. It'll help us out immeasurably. iTunes reviews are sadly where it's at.
Yep.
And we're just gaming the system.
And so many people don't do it at all.
They really don't. Amazing amount. I mean, Cinema Crespi has 55 reviews. We have way, way more than 55 listeners. So
yeah.
What's
Hey man, I don't even listen to the podcast and I reviewed it.
Thank you, Drew. That's what I'm talking about.
That's a weird drop.
That was a weird drop.
I love that drop.
That's a weird drop, especially...
Circus Afro Circus,
Chris Rock as a zebra in the Madagascar movies. At least it's a movie-related drop. Guys, time for some Juicy Cogburn versus the world. That's what that sound means. I was going to jump into one of our segments, but we'll do this one instead. Drew, you're 18 and 11. Mm-hmm. This week's game is called... Which Made More, and since this is the first episode for the month of October, I'm going to try to make every Drusa Cogburn versus the world this week somehow horror movie related.
Of course.
Okay.
And it works out. We talked about some horror movies earlier already in the first half of the episode. This week's game is, it's a classic Which Made More game. I'm going to give you two movies. You tell me which made more at the North American box office as per Box Office Mojo. Drew, you won last week against Crystal Hughes from the Swervy Jones Show. Oh, plugs. Listen to the newest episode of the Swervy Jones Show. Drew and I were there. We had chili fries and Crown Royal beverages.
Ooh.
And let me tell you, that is maybe part of the reason why I felt terrible throughout the entire day of Saturday.
Probably.
Probably a good reason why. I dumped... conservatively 150 grams worth of sugar in my body on top of chili cheese fries in one night. So,
lots of that brown drink.
That's living.
That tequila's clear. This vodka soda rain. So, how's that orange blossom pilsner?
Empty.
good.
Do you need another one?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do another one.
Okay. After the game. It's for the game. And then you can do another one while we introduce the next segment. All right, buddy?
Alrighty.
Because that's why it's empty, because it's good stuff.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. Shout out to OBP. Not even the sponsor of PFT Media. Shout out to them.
Yes.
They will be a sponsor. No soon. That's going to happen. Which made more? I have two groups of five, A or B, and this is... slasher film related. These are all under the genre of slasher film as per Box Office Mojo. Drew, A or B, which one do you want?
B.
Okay, which one of these two movies made more money? Halloween, the 2007 Rob Zombie remake, or When a Stranger Calls, the remake of that movie from 2000 something. So which remake made more, Halloween or When a Stranger Calls?
Halloween
made $58 million. When a Stranger Calls, $47 million. Ooh. So that's correct. Well done. Number two, which made more? Friday the 13th, Part 3, 3D. Or Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Oh.
The most recent Texas Chainsaw movie.
Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Texas Chainsaw 3D made $34 million. Friday the 13th, Part 3 in 3D. $36 million.
Oh, I hate those close ones.
So that surprises me.
It is surprising, isn't it? Number three, which made more, Drew? Candyman or Child's Play?
Child's Play.
Child's Play made $33 million. Candyman, $25
million.
Okay. So, you could think about that. There's way more Child's Play sequels than Candyman sequels.
That is true.
I think there's only three Candyman movies.
I didn't even know that there was two.
Well, I think they're direct-to-sequel ones.
Yeah.
Whereas Child's Play
direct to sequel.
Direct to sequel.
I know you mean.
You know what I'm talking about. Direct to sequel.
I was going to let it slide. Whoa. Drew's a dick.
No, Drew. I did not let that shit slide.
Because he's a producer. He knows what he's talking about. All right, Drew. Number four. Which made more? Dr. Giggles. Or Jason X.
Oh, I hope Jason X.
Jason X. Yeah. Dr. Giggles made $8 million. Jason X, $13
million. Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, I mean, cyborg Jason in space beating hologram girls to death with each other.
But also, though, every early 90s Marvel comic book had Dr. Giggles ads in them. Oh, there's so many Dr. Giggles ads. It was weird. And finally, number five, Drew, which made more money? Child's Play 2 or Friday the 13th Part 2?
Friday the 13th.
Child's Play 2 made $28 million. Friday the 13th Part 2 made $36 million. Yes. Well done, Drew. Four out of five. Not bad at all. Steve, are you ready?
Okay.
Here we go. Number one, which made more? Scream or Friday versus Jason?
Scream.
Scream made $103 million.
Damn.
Friday vs. Jason, $82 million.
Nice. Friday vs. Jason?
That's really good.
Friday vs. Jason would be such a good movie. Friday vs. Jason. I could have read my own handwriting. Friday vs. Jason. Number two, which made more? Seed of Chucky or Halloween 2? The original Halloween 2, the John Carpenter one. Which made more? Seed of Chucky or Halloween 2?
Okay. Halloween 2 or Doll Ejaculate? I would say... I would say Halloween 2.
Halloween 2 made $25 million. Doll Ejaculate made $17 million. So well done. Number three, which made more? A Nightmare on Elm Street 4, : The Dream Master, or Scream 4?
I would say the first one.
A Nightmare on Elm Street 4?
Uh-huh.
A Nightmare on Elm Street
4? Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
A Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm going to stick with it. A Nightmare on Elm Street 4, 840. What does that say? $49 million.
Wow.
It's hard to see.
I didn't think it would make that much.
Look, see, it's seriously like Crimpton there. You see how it's seriously Crimpton there? You see that? I rewrote it. It's 49.
Okay, yeah.
I rewrote it. It's 49. But it's like tiny. I wrote it tiny. This was hours ago. And A Nightmare on Elm Street 4 made $49 million, which is what you said. Scream 4, only $38
million. Yeah!
So while Scream is the highest grossing slasher film at $103 million, Scream 4, not that much money.
They went downhill fast as well.
Went downhill very fast. Yeah. Number 4, which made more? Psycho 2 or I Still Know What You Did Last Summer?
I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. Most people are unaware that Psycho had any sequels at all.
All right. Well, Psycho 2 made $34 million. I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, $40 million. All right. Here we go.
He's going to beat me.
Which made more, Etchy?
Oh, God.
A Nightmare on Elm Street, the 2010 remake.
Okay.
Or Friday the 13th, the 2009 remake.
Friday the 13th.
A Nightmare on Elm Street made $63 million.
Oh,
Friday the 13th made
$5
million. Yes! You are correct, sir. You ran the table 5 out of 5. You win.
Good job.
Good job.
Yeah. You know what? Most people, this is the thing. The reason I choose that is because there's always going to be, that movie's always going to be a jump ahead because the remake was done by Rob Zombie.
That's Halloween. Friday the 13th.
I thought he also did Friday the 13th.
No, Friday the 13th was a random guy.
Okay. Well,
well, there you go.
So your
nailed it.
Your misplaced logic got you
the win. Got me the win. Yeah.
Well done, Etchy. Well done.
That was the big thing, though, when he did that. That was most people, what they were excited about. They're like, oh my God, Rob Zombie is doing a classic.
Yeah, right.
That really blew people away.
And also the Halloween 2 as well, the remake that as well. Between the two of you, 9 out of 10. That is some trivia mastery right there. I thought you guys would follow up a little bit more. I gotta be honest. I really thought you would. You guys deserve one of these.
You're so awful at this.
Yeah.
I hit the random button. The random didn't work. Okay, let's...
It didn't work.
It didn't work.
It played exactly what I expected it to.
I mean, it worked, but it didn't. Let's do this.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous...
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
What did you see? There you go. What did you see? You let us know. I missed that, the tiny button. You see what you see, and you let us know at Cinema Crespediso at gmail.com, and Drewster Cogburn reads it. Drew, are you ready?
I am.
Let's do it.
Okay, email from our homeboy Scott.
What's up, Scott?
He saw American Assassin and the new Kingsman.
All right, here we go.
American Assassin. I loathe the recent trend where films depict TV/cable news channels reciting the news to help accent the plot.
Oh, I hate that shit.
And I especially hate it when the real-life anchors, pundits, etc., delivering the info. When I see the likes of Chuck Todd, Brian Williams, Wolf Blitzer, Lawrence O'Donnell, it turns my stomach.
Me
it
too.
It makes these so-called journalists into mere actors.
Agreed.
And worse, it's always so damn obvious that every one of them is relishing the fact that they're in a goddamn movie. They also desperately want to be the TV/movie stars. It's disgusting. I only mention this because there were many such quote-unquote news clips in this movie.
Hmm.
Exclusively, and I mean every single one, was branded with Fox News Chiron. Fox is literally the only news channel that exists in the American Assassin universe.
Boo.
So I guess Fox News was this movie's target audience? Though, I gotta give Fox News a bit of credit for not being so heavy-handed. They didn't bring in any of their heavyweights, no Hannity, O'Reilly, etc. It was strictly the 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Fox talent.
Yeah, I would say, I know he has the Kingsman review coming up. Yes, I would say the right-wing conservative crowd is the demographic for American Assassin, because like I said before in the show, beware of any movie or TV show like Homeland, mm-hmm. right, or Zero Dark Thirty, which they're both well-made pieces of entertainment, but be very wary of them. They are pushing a brown people as terrorist narrative, and also the narrative that the CIA is working in our best interest at all times, and they can push the boundaries and do unlawful things, but as long as it's in the name of national interest and national security, that it's perfectly fine. And a lot of these programs or movies like Zero Dark Thirty work with the CIA. The CIA gives them information because it's portraying them in the better light.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that's why then they get Fox News, because that is the market that they're going for. The rah-rah America, isn't this great, nationalism, patriotism, that kind of bullshit.
Besides, it's also a fictional movie, and that's really their wheelhouse.
What do you mean? What?
Fox.
Fox.
Oh, fiction. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All about that fiction.
The weirdest thing, though, my dear old dad, who I saw the movie with, and who I thought was so pumped to see American Assassin only because he'd watched the trailers and had his notions reinforced by daily promos via Fox News,
He
said he hadn't watched a single trailer. He said he saw none of the marketing. It wasn't what I thought it would be, he said. Based solely on the title, he thought American Assassin was a mafia movie? At least, that's nice. What he says.
That's funny.
I think he's lying to me.
That'd be Italian-American mafia, or...
American Assassin. Italian-American Assassin.
Italian-American Assassin.
That's our spinoff movie.
Anywho, the review. American Assassin is everything you'd expect it to be. The positive, casting is terrific. Michael Keaton is great as the hardened former SEAL trainer.
Sure.
The post-Birdman Keaton essence continues. And Dylan O'Brien is surprisingly good as the young lead. He doesn't look at all the typical Spec Ops badass you'd expect in the movie like this, but he sells it nonetheless. Mm. The negative, the plot is pretty lame. There are a couple of massive holes that you could drive a truck through if you noticed and wanted to. Also, Sana Lathan is utterly wasted. But then, out of nowhere, the movie ends on a rather big plus. Spoilers, if anyone actually cares.
No one cares.
There's an underwater nuke blast that involves a U.S. Navy fleet.
Sweet.
That whole sequence is pretty dope. I'll give American Assassin an extra half star just for the casting and climax, though it probably doesn't deserve it. 2.5 out of 4.
All right, we'll watch the movie for the cast. Start the movie for the cast. Stay for the nuclear sub-climax.
Yes. Kingsman: The Golden Circle. I'll try to keep this one quick because the last one went longer than expected.
Okay.
I love the expanding of the universe. I love the Statesman. But the best, most consistent thing about the Kingsman universe is its villains. The fact that these bad guys are all just trying to do the right thing, while also willing to kill millions or billions of human lives. It's so cool! Samuel L. set the bar, and Julianne Moore came really close. Unfortunately, Golden Circle ultimately lacks the rewatchable charisma of its predecessor. Simply put, Eggsy's origin story was a lot more compelling than his life of actually being a Kingsman. It's fun, just not as fun. That Reginald cameo, though. Last thing, since they managed to bring Harry back from a gunshot to the brain, I'm fully convinced that any quote-unquote dead Kingsman can be brought back for number 3. Spoiler alert, I'm calling it right now, Merlin lost a leg at worst, and Lancelot escaped. 2.5 out of 5 stars. Take care, guys. Scott.
All right, there you go. Scott hit us up with the reviews of American Assassin and Kingsman. He seemed to like Kingsman more than I did. We've got a couple of reviews like that. Actually, I think who hit us up last week? Nate? I think Nate Smith hit us up with a positive Kingsman review. I can't remember.
Don't remember.
But yeah. Yeah. People like it. Some people like it. Well, like we saw on Rotten Tomatoes, 50%. What are you going to do? Right down the middle. Some people like it. Some people don't. It's one of those things. What else we got?
Got an email from Jay Edwards.
What's up, Jay Edwards? What's up, Jedwards?
He's got a Wind River review.
Wind River.
Wind River.
Wind River.
So I just finished a movie called Wind River.
Wind River!
Loved it. Check it out if you haven't seen it. 2017 and Jeremy Renner. Starts kind of slow, but I was hooked after the plot thickened. Let me know what you thought if you check it out. Got an 8.0 on IMDb. P.S. I enjoy IMDb ratings over Rotten Tomatoes. What about you?
We need to get on this Wind River whenever it comes out on the home videos. Wind River, when it comes out on home videos. Because it's not in theaters here anymore. I actually prefer the Rotten Tomato aggregate score over IMDb because anyone can rate on IMDb. So that's like the user score. And the user score is, for the most part, trash. Unless the only time a user score I find to be noteworthy is when everyone decides that they hate a film. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Everyone hates this thing. That's rare when that happens.
Yeah.
So the IMDb score, I don't put too much stock into it. The Rotten Tomatoes one is more like, here are all the actual critics that are out there. Let's aggregate them together and then figure out what the averages are. And, you know, you just got to know how to read the numbers correctly as well. Which we've done a whole bonus episode on that years ago. And not enough people listen to it, obviously, because they're still fucking up on the reading of the ratings.
I got an email from our homeboy Gabe.
What's up, Gabe?
Late but not late. Quadruple hopped it.
All right.
So we got reviews of Mother, Kingsman, It, and Dunkirk.
Mother, Kingsman, all right, sorry.
Mother, it's brilliant. It looked like a witch/cult ritual movie from the trailers, and I had no interest.
That's what I thought too, yeah.
The more the Crespo Diso crew talked about it, the more my interest grew. I got it after Domino's scene. The casting and acting is great, not literal, symbolic. 2017 sweet surprise, top 10.
Yeah, there we go.
Kingsman the Golden Circle.
Hashtag mother lover.
Kingsman the Golden Circle. Fantastic sequel, consistent with the first movie. Over the top, adult, and hilarious. Although a buddy of mine said he was sold a bill of goods with the hyping of Channing in the trailers, I really didn't watch many trailers knowing I was going to watch it anyways. Any thoughts?
All right, two things that we already said. 50-50 right there. Two people saw it. No. Gabe liked it, his friend did not. And I think I mentioned this on the show. Channing Tatum, very not much in the movie.
That's what you said.
He's in the movie a lot in the trailer. He's in a lot of the trailer, but then when you see the movie, you're like, oh, well, most of the scene that's in the movie, they used in the trailer. Mm. And then shortly after that, he's like, exit stage left. It's kind of weird.
Drew Barrymore in Scream.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was more of a, let's subvert people's expectations. They think this may be a movie featuring her character, and then we kill her in the first few minutes.
Yeah.
30-year-old spoiler alert, 25-year-old spoiler alert.
I wouldn't even say spoiler alert. It's too early.
Right? It's how the movie starts. Yeah. It's the beginning of the movie. All right, what else you got?
It's a rewatch. So you've already seen it once.
It's It rewatch.
Still good. The setup, the pacing, 2 jump scares still got me. Effective. You got to get that opening piano number for the Crespo Disco. Eerie and beautiful.
Ooh, okay. Crespo Disco suggestion.
And Dunkirk.
Dunkirk.
Jumped in halfway, so the jumbled storytelling was a bit hard to follow. Beautiful cinematography, brutal war movie. I'll wait for Redbox to see it all. Top 10 worthy.
Jumped in halfway. Yeah, in the beginning of the movie explains how this takes place over the course of a week.
Exactly.
This one over a day. Yeah, this one over an hour.
Yeah.
It's hysterical. Don't jump into a movie halfway. A Christopher Nolan movie. One thing, it was like Wish Upon or the newest Saw, Jigsaw. That comes out in a couple weeks. Jump into the middle of Jigsaw and let us know what's up with that. Thanks, Gabe. We appreciate it. What else we got?
That's it.
Oh, that's it?
For the Vox Populi.
For the Vox Populi. Well, then let's move on to...
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Ow! You're metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, it is time for Billy D's Death at the Movies. Death, death, death at the Movies. He also does Billy D's Postmortem. mm-hmm. our very first PFT Media web series. People can check that out on pftmedia.com. Just click on PFTV. All the videos are there on one page, or you can go to YouTube, search Billy Lee's Postmortem. It comes right up. He hits us up every week with his death in movies. Drew is super excited to bring it to you, so here we go. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
There's a chill in the air, and I'm listening to the surprisingly decent new Danzig album.
Oh, really?
It finally feels like autumn.
Oh, shit.
Time is an interesting thing. As I've gotten older, the things that made me a bit of a misfit as a kid are now super popular. Comic books, video games, yeah. sci-fi, heavy metal t-shirts. In parentheses, I think I have a devil emoji in my email.
Yeah. Oh, does he?
This is the first time I've ever seen anything like this in an email.
Parentheses, devil emoji. Yep, that's what that is.
Uh-huh. Right,
he devil emoji.
Now I've been emojied in an email. Thanks,
so Billy wrote his email via his phone.
And now Stephen King novels. What's next? Clive Barker dancing on Ellen? Or Cannibal Corpse day drinking with Kathy Lee? So anyway, Stephen King. The Dark Tower was a misstep, to put it mildly, but it is almost unanimously considered great, and all the networks have Stephen King properties in development. The newest one is Gerald's Game on Netflix.
Right, I heard about that.
First, Carla Gugino and Bruce Greenwood are amazing. I knew that this film was happening, but always thought that it was an odd choice. Carla Gugino is such a weird king. Gerald's Game is such a weird King book. On the surface, it's an exploitation story. A prudish woman is talked into some bondage by her husband. He dies, and she's pinned under his body and chained to the bed in an isolated cabin.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's a very King setup.
If this were the first King book someone read and then said, yeah, this isn't for me, I would get it. But when you've read like 30 King books and then pick up Gerald's Game, some of the mystical moments in it take on a whole new meaning.
Sure.
King folded in some of his larger lore into this very small story. I bring all this up because I wanted to see if Netflix would even hint at that. Holy crap, you guys. I think Netflix has their eyes on the Dark Tower series.
Huh.
Because they did it. They did all the lore things. I did a total double take and rewound when Gerald says everything dies, but all things serve the beam.
The beam, that's a very Dark Tower reference.
My girl was like, what the fuck is the beam? And I was like, let me sing you the song of my nerd people. She then had to listen to a long explanation of that line of dialogue and why it was so insane for Netflix to even put it in there. Gerald's Game is good. It might be great, especially if it's a backdoor first entry into a Netflix Kingiverse.
He had to kingsplain the beam to his fiance.
But it's a pretty unflinching adaptation, which makes it not for anyone. If you are a King fan, definitely watch it because it's filled with King lore Easter eggs. Also, Cuphead is fantastic. Stay cool, Billy D.
All right, Billy nice. D. We appreciate it, buddy. People, check out Gerald's Game. Netflix. All right, here we go. It is time for...
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about
navigating
the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
The most important segment in all of podcasting, the Cinema Crespo Deeso Movie News segment. Of course, we're talking about them celebrity divorces and them celebrity beach bods. But first off, what's going on with the Biebs? Steve, we need a Justin Bieber update. What's up with the Biebs?
I don't know. Isn't he, he's not as buff anymore.
Okay.
He's got a little doughy. This just in, the Biebs has got a little doughy.
That's what happens when you find Jesus. You find Jesus. You get doughy because Jesus has rock hard abs.
Jesus has rock hard abs for your doughy body. Mm-hmm. Justin Bieber is back with, not back with the Lord, but oh no, internet went out. Here we go. Going on to data, unfortunately, to get us our movie news stories. But first off, this guy, Hugh Hefner,
yeah,
is dead.
Yes, he is. Correct.
91 years old.
Goddamn.
So he lived a full life.
One of the fullest.
He won at life.
Yes.
So it's not a tragedy.
No, not in the slightest.
Not a tragedy. But, all right, first off, Facebook. Anyone that posted about how boners are at half-mast, hack.
Boom.
The hackiest hacks who ever hacked tweeted that or Facebooked that.
Yeah.
And then there was a raging debate out there about whether or not Hugh Hefner was a great liberator of women or an oppressor of women, because he was fighting for being more sex positive in culture and society, and, you know, not being so prudish and everything. But then he was also, you know, gross. Yeah. So
yes, he was. He was a gross old man.
He was a gross old man who did terrible things. So there's a big debate about that, about his legacy, this place in the world and in American culture. And I fall down, as much as Playboy has warped my sensibilities, thanks to being the first naked woman I ever saw was via Playboy magazine. I'm falling on the side of Hugh Hefner was a garbage human being. Cosmopolitan.com has an article here. The 15 worst things Playmates have said about life in the Playboy mansion.
Oh, I could not. Okay, now see. When it comes for, like, you know, freedom of expression, this, that, the other.
The macro issues.
The macro issues, I think you give him a plus. For
plus one.
A plus one. For the personal issues and how he ran that fucking brothel that you call the Playboy mansion.
His personal brothel.
That is like a minus a billion.
All right, well, yeah. Well, here we go. Here's some evidence from the people who lived in the house.
Oh, I couldn't do it. I would not want, like, even have anything to do with the water at that place.
Even the water, right? Well, here we go. I'm gonna read them all. If you think Hugh Hefner was this great guy, let's see what you think after you hear all of these quotes. Number one, everyone thinks that the infamous metal gate was meant to keep people out, no. But I grew to feel it was meant to lock me in. That was Holly Madison in her book, Down the Rabbit Hole. Number two, when you're here, you have to be in by the 9 p.m. curfew. You're not allowed to invite any friends up to see you. That's Carla Howe telling The Mirror. Number three, every Friday morning, we had to go to Hef's room. Wait while he picked up all the dog poo off the carpet, and then ask for our allowance, $1,000 counted out in crisp $100 bills from a safe in one of his bookcases. $1,000 a week sounds like a lot of money. It's really not. It's like $12 an hour.
Yeah.
I think they're getting paid $11, $12 an hour. We all hated this process. Hef would always use the occasion to bring up anything he wasn't happy about in the relationship. So he's paying for these relationships, $1,000 a week. Most of the complaints were about the lack of harmony among the girlfriends or your lack of sexual participation in the, quote, parties he held in his bedroom. If we'd been out of town for any reason and missed one of the official going out nights, he wouldn't want to give us the allowance. He used it as a weapon. That is Isabella St. James in her book, Bunny Tales. Number four, we're doing all 15. I hate putting my hand out, but we couldn't have jobs other than getting appearance fees. That's Kendra Wilkinson telling US Weekly. Number five, if you do something wrong, you'll get an email. There's a strict code of conduct. There are even rules about Instagram and Twitter. You've got to show everything in the good light, and if you're drunk in the picture, you'll be in trouble. Melissa Howell telling The Mirror. Number six, although we all did our best to decorate our rooms and make them homey, the mattresses on our beds were disgusting. Old, worn, and stained. The sheets were past their best, too. Back to Isabella St. James. Number seven, we were not allowed to have boys in the house. That was the absolute number one rule. No boys allowed. That was one of the main reasons we moved out. Krista Shannon telling Pop Eater. Number eight. No, this is gross. Hef was used. He was used to dirty carpets. The one in his bedroom had not been changed for years, and things became significantly worse when Holly Madison moved into his room with him as girlfriend number one soon after I moved in, bringing her two dogs. They were not house trained and would just do their business on the bedroom carpet.
Oh, good lord.
Late at night or early hours in the morning, if any of us visited Hef's bedroom, we'd almost end up standing in dog mess. Again, Isabella St. James from her book, Bunny Tales. People, read this book, Bunny Tales. It sounds great. Number nine, besides the nights we went out, I only saw Hef like once a day walking through the halls to his office. There were never solo dates, says Kendra Wilkinson. Number 10, it's like being with a granddad. Not long ago, they called in the nurse because he had a fall in the grotto, says Carla Howe. That sounds fun. Mm-hmm. Hey, don't you want to, for $1,000 a week, you can fuck your granddad. Number 11, Quaaludes were supposed to give you a nice buzz. Hef told me once that they were meant to put girls in the mood for sex, Isabella St. James.
They were drunk pills.
Drew loves them ludes.
I took him a couple times.
You got lewds, man.
I found lewds in the late 90s.
That's crazy.
No, some old hippie.
They stopped making them and Drew found lewds.
Yeah, I found a dozen of them.
Apparently Hugh Hefner had a lewds vault somewhere.
Yeah.
Wow.
Number 12, when it first gets started. Oh, man, here we go, guys. This is Jill Ann Spalding in her book, Jill Ann Upstairs. When it first gets started, his main girlfriend gives him oral sex. Then she has sex with him. She's the first to go because that's the safest for her. No protection and no testing. He does not care.
Wow.
Number 13, again, Jill Ann Spalding. Hef just lies there with his Viagra erection. It's just a fake erection, and each girl gets on top of him for 2 minutes while the girls in the background try to keep him excited. They'll yell things like, fuck her, daddy."
Oh my god.
Kendra Wilkinson, number 14. At about the minute mark, I pulled away and it was done. It was like a job. Clock in, clock out. It's not like I enjoyed having sex with him. And finally, number 15, Holly Madison. Maybe it was the pot and the alcohol. But drowning myself seemed like a logical way to escape the ridiculous life I was leading.
Wow.
So, yeah. Forced group sex. I saw another quote. Not even in those quotes. Someone else talked about how he was had bad hearing out of one ear. So while the girls were in the background pretending to do fake lesbian stuff to keep him excited, they were also like talking shit about him and making fun of him in the room. Like, I'm just sure. Feet away and no. He couldn't hear.
Wow.
Fuck.
That's got to be gratifying.
Yeah, that, at least that's the least.
Not enough to be worth it, but.
That's the least they could do, to talk shit with him in the room and not get in trouble. Fuck Hugh Hefner. Fuck him. Huh? Disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Scumbag.
Disgusting scumbag, old pervert, gross piece of shit. And then there, of course, there are people out there, oh, the girls got paid, they did this, they knew what they were doing, blah, blah, blah. But he was preying on young girls who had few options, no family, bad support structures. They were coming from
and blonde hair.
Often blonde haired, and he was exploiting. That's why it's called exploitation. He was exploiting women that were in precarious situations, and they saw it as an opportunity to advance in society because that's the culture we've built up around ourselves. And yeah, it's bad. It's
hooray!
It's all bad. So that was my lead story. The Mist TV show. Did you guys watch any of that?
Nope.
No, that's why it's canceled.
Oh, there you go.
Speaking of Stephen King, the Mist TV show, it got one season, I think, on FX, and it's been canceled. No, not FX, excuse me, Spike. And Spike is about to rebrand itself as Paramount TV.
Ah.
So Paramount is behind Spike.
And we're going to get a whole bunch of Paramount movies.
We're going to get more Paramount movies and more scripted stuff. They want to get into scripted TV, back into scripted TV. The Mist was supposed to be their way of getting back in. Not enough viewership. They canceled it after one season. Coming to America 2. It's happening.
What?
It's happening.
Why?
They've been talking about it for a while.
Is Murphy in?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course he'll be in it. Probably a smaller role, but he's going to be in it.
Can he play a bunch of different characters?
I hope
like
so.
Like he did in the first one?
Yes, he better.
I want the old Jew man to come back.
Oh, bring him back, please. Oh, what is this, Velvet? Please bring him back. Looking for a writer, Kenya Barris, who is the lady behind Black-ish on TV.
Okay.
She's going to write it. And for a director, they're looking at Jonathan Levine, who did 50-50, Warm Bodies, The Night Before, The Wackness. So he's done a lot of, like, comedy dramas,
yeah.
character drama stuff. Yeah.
I mean, The Wackness was good, but
I like The Wackness. But, Warm Bodies was okay. I think 50-50 is really good.
But you know, Ben Kingsley, so.
The Kingsley, yes, absolutely. So here we go with that. And so it's coming. Coming to America 2 is coming. Michelle Williams, Academy Award nominated, I think even winning Michelle Williams, in negotiations to join the cast of Venom.
Ooh.
So Tom Hardy and Michelle Williams in a Venom movie. They're not just trying to crank out any old Venom movie.
I know. They're actually, it has some potential.
It has a little bit of potential to actually be decent.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I really think, they should make a goddamn Venom horror movie.
That's what they're going to do. It's an R-rated film.
It needs to be jump scares.
It's Venom versus Carnage, right? It's got to be intense and horrific and dark and crazy, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
It has to be. They have announced it's R-rated, so it's not going to be R-rated. A final story, Sex in the City. You guys watch any of that?
Nope.
You men didn't watch Sex in the City? Get over your gender roles, norm, your stereo. I'm just kidding.
I watched Entourage. I watched Entourage, yeah. Bro.
Entourage is male Sex in the City, 100%.
That's what it was.
Totally, 100%. So, Sex in the City, HBO, right? Very successful TV show. They did the two movies. They had plans to make a third movie. Everyone was on board to make this movie. Except...
Horseface?
No. Horseface wants to make the movie.
Oh, really?
Kim Cattrall.
What?
Kim Cattrall.
Hmm. She seemed like the thirstiest one of them all.
You would think so, but she went to the studio. Which studio was it? Does this article even say?
Where else?
Warner Brothers.
Where else is she going to get money?
Right. Well, okay. Yeah. So here's the thing. A source tells the Daily Mail, which is a little dubious, but still, this sounds right. The only reason this movie is not being made is because of Kim Cattrall. Everyone was looking forward to making this movie, but Kim made it all about her, always playing the victim. Kim had the audacity to tell Warner Brothers that she would only do Sex and City 3 if they made other movies she had in development. Ridiculous. Who does she think she is? George Clooney, end quote. So Kim Cattrall went to Warner Brothers, said, I'll only do this movie if you make all my other movies. And Warner Brothers was like,
fuck
you. You're Kim Cattrall. We're not even going to fucking bother then with Sex and the City 3. Not even that much of a priority. So, not happening. Mm-hmm. Not happening.
Guys. Way to kill a movie, Kim.
The two Sex and the City films generated more than $700 million worldwide. They should just write her out.
Yeah.
Kill her. Kill the character.
Yeah.
And then the whole movie's about her funeral.
Yep.
That would be awesome.
Right? Kill the character. It's Kim Cattrall. Who gives a shit?
Not I.
All right, here we go, Steve.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
I have 10 questions. I need 10 answers. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Drew, start that clock.
Nope.
Number one, dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Number two, pizza or burgers?
Pizza.
Number three, airplanes or cruise ships?
Cruise ships.
Number four, the red pill or the blue pill?
Don't remember which one is which.
Number five, Oreos or Chips Ahoy?
Oh, man, Oreos.
Number six, summer or winter?
Winter.
Number seven, the Three Stooges with Shemp or low-fat frozen yogurt?
Low-fat frozen yogurt.
Number eight, cross-country skeet shooting or intergalactic spice trading?
The first one?
Okay. Number nine.
What's that, dude? I want to do intergalactic spice trading.
Number nine, up or down?
Up.
Number 10, the Man of Steel or Men at Work?
Men at Work.
All right. So that leaves us dogs, pizza, cruise ship. Don't know. Oreos, winter, low-fat frozen yogurt.
Low-fat for Rio.
I'm going to take all of those answers.
Cross-country skeet shooting up Men at Work.
And somehow write a script, like, inspired by all those answers.
That would be a weird fucking movie.
Completely out of context.
Those are improv comedy troupe suggestions that people need to put together, write into a short story, and then tweet it at us using the hashtag Lightning Round.
Yeah.
Mad Libs. There we go. Lightning Round Mad Libs. There we go. Reverse Mad Libs. Lightning Round Reverse Mad Libs. Etchy.
He's so awful at this.
Blue bag, stripy bag, purple bag. Pick one.
I'm going to do the purple bag. It's purple my bag. Favorite color.
Purple bag, purple bag. Let's see what's in that purple bag.
Sir, you may get to go home with a honeycomb tissue ball. It is 8 inches in diameter and green.
Yeah,
oh,
party.
My God, that's awesome.
It's a green party ball.
We've got some silly shots, fun fling. Fling it. Directions are on the back.
Yeah, we got directions.
Holy shit.
We got a big sky, high flying fun micro fighter. It's got a plane and launcher. Watch it launch.
Watch
is
it launch.
Any of this not good?
It's all amazing.
We've got a magic grow safari animals. The package says three styles, but there are definitely four.
No one's thinking the
whole yet. Holy shit.
We've got a Crespo Diso bootleg copy of The Call of the Wild.
Yeah.
And a Fleer Ultra 1994 Jason Kidd rookie card.
I love Jason Kidd.
So many amazing things, Steve. You can take all that stuff home, or we put it away and you take what's in the bags. In the bags.
What's in the box?
Oh, shit. Bag box. What's in the box? Let me get right over here. What's in the box?
You know what? No more drinking during the show.
Again.
I have to take the box.
No more drinking during the show.
No, we're drinking.
No, you're cut off.
Only drinking during the show. Here we go. We're popping the top. We're reaching in. What's in that box?
All right. It is a Blu-ray of Red Christmas.
Yeah!
The only thing under the tree is terror.
That's the up tagline. Red Christmas is an Australian horror film. It's a Christmas set home invasion movie and doesn't come out until October 17th. But we got an advanced copy through Artsploitation Films. So shout out to Artsploitation Films.
Nice.
You got yourself an advanced copy of the Australian horror film Red Christmas.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I never even heard of it. This looks awesome.
There you go. Actual prize this time. Not some bullshit. It's amazing. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419 all over the interwebs.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. Steve, where can people find you online again?
You can find me by Googling Etchy, or you can email me as steve.etchy@gmail.com, and please go to pfdmedia.com.
Yes, thank you, Steve, for joining us. We appreciate it, buddy. Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Remember, break up the banks. Fuck the banks. Read more books. Be excellent to each other. And you know what? Still, fuck the NFL, even though Trump is trying to change the debate, making it about free speech. And now people are like supporting the NFL and Red X are dumping the NFL. It makes no sense. Trump fucked it all. The NFL is still trash. Fuck the NFL. And yeah, there we go. I had to get that all out.
Go Pats. No.
Son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. Mic check, 1, 2, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. Turn this mic.
Yeah.
There you go. Drew.
1, 2, Chris, buckle your fucking shoe.
1, 2, buckle your shoe. 3, 4.
Shut the door.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
5, 6.
Pick up sticks. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, pick up sticks.
I know, but
why are we picking up sticks?
7, 8.
And then you laid them straight.
Uh-huh. 9, 10.
Do it again?
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
11, 12.
It's is life, there, bro.
There's no 11, 12.
There is no, and there is no 11, 12.
Nope.
Because you're supposed to do it again.
Yep, do it again.
1, 2, buckle your shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
3, 4, shut the door, really?
Shut that bitch. Yep.
Yep.
5, 6, pick up sticks.
Mm-hmm. Pick up, yep. Buckle your shoe, shut the door, pick up the sticks, lay the motherfuckers straight, and do it all over again.
Did you skip one?
Nope.
Buckle your shoe, shut the door,
pick up sticks, lay them straight, do it again. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow.
Why do we say that over and over?
I don't know. That's all right, Chris. You put your left foot in, you put your left foot out. You put your left foot in, and you shake it all about.
You do
the hokey pokey.
That's about sex.
And you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about.
That's about sex.
If anybody asks you, what's it all about? You say the fucking hokey pokey. That's the answer. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
It's about shaking your leg.
Yeah. You stick it in, you stick it out, you stick it in, you shake it about, you do the hokey pokey, and you turn around. That's what it's all about.
Sex. Life.
Yep. Sticking stuff in, out, in, out, in. All about.
Let's turn around.
The hokey pokey.
Life goes on.
Turn around.
And you turn yourself around.
It's
and then
boom.
Now it's his turn.
Yes.
It's like how... Oh, man. We got double... That's what happens when the algorithm... The algorithm's freaking out. We got 2 gold threat updates in a row. I've never seen that before.
The what now?
The threat update updates every 5 hours automatically. The threat level.
Oh, for the country?
For the world.
Where do you look that up?
On Twitter, threat update. Monitoring trends and crunching key metrics to evaluate existential risk powered by science patents applied for. You're welcome. That's the profile. And it gives you a color. It has a color scale. And then it gives it a meaning. And this is the first time I've ever seen 2 identical colors in a row. And it happens to be gold. So this is going to make it a unique threat update.
Gold is good then, I would think, right? Because it's closest to... Like, because I'd imagine like red is the most, right? Like bad.
You would think so. But the last red update was...
I want to see that scale.
Is Firebrick considered red?
Yes.
Well, the last red update was a day ago. Current level is Firebrick. Your feels will be verified.
My feels?
Yeah.
Wait, and that's an official, what, that, wow.
Yeah, it's the official threat update.
Yeah.
And the previous red before that was, again, Firebrick, 6 days ago. Your absolutes cannot be excused. The day before that is straight up red. Current threat level is red. Evaluate your ideals. I don't know, red does sound pretty extreme. But these are gold, and I don't think these are good. So, did you know that Why Did the Chicken Cross the Road is a joke about suicide?
Oh, it's such a, it's so good.
Yeah, now it's the best joke ever. Did you know that, Chi?
No, I'm unaware of what you're talking about.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
I don't know why.
To get to the other side.
Oh! I like
it. It's not the other side of the road. It's the other side.
The other side.
The motherfucker was side. Yeah, he was offering himself so he could get to the other side.
He was a depressed chicken.
Yeah.
But that's the first joke you learn as a person.
It is, but you don't think about, but you don't understand its true meaning until you become an adult.
Then you realize, self-destruction is ingrained into us from the very beginning.
Yeah. As an adult, you're like, oh. Negativity is everything.
No wonder we're so fucked as people. Uh-huh. Yeah, good times. Yeah, it's all good times.
A PFT Media production.